I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I mean, I'd hurt my neck, I'd hurt my back. The worst part was my leg was shattered. I really didn't know what to feel. I knew that I'd gotten in the car with the drunk driver. That felt like that was my mistake, but I wasn't the one driving and I wasn't the one that caused the accident, so I really wasn't sure how to feel. I talked to my mom and she ended up recommending just calling the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt like maybe I'd made a mistake or I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me. Really, it gave me my life back. I was able to stop replaying all the decisions I made and I was able to just move forward and really start rebuilding my life because the advocates really took care of everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Howdy, everyone. Let us know if you can hear us in the chat. If I did everything right, I may not have.
Are we
have
working?
No idea.
Testing. Let us know. And in the meantime, welcome to our December 2025 recap. This will also be, I guess, a year recap for 2025 and our milestones, what to expect for 2026 here on Tudor Ramble. It's working?
I think so.
Let's go. Hell, yeah, looks like it's working. Hello, everybody. Rich.
Hey, Kendall.
Hey, Kendall's here. What's up, Kendall? Kendall! Oh my goodness.
I know. She's back. This next book club is going to be your first one back in a while.
Awesome. See, now. I'm out of the loop. I've been gone for 2 weeks on my honeymoon with Nicole. So I got back literally last night. That's why this is a Sunday live rather than a Saturday. We had to adjust it by a day. Rich, our 2025. You want to talk a little bit December first and then year in review?
Sure.
Do that. Oh, also, do we have a bunch of packages to open as well?
We do,
yes.
However, I left him in the car. So during the live, you're going to have to distract, and I'm going to have to run out to the car and grab him. I should have done that the past hour.
We were talking for the past hour, yeah. But there's also a special package that we have to put aside, though. So I'll check and look through. Okay. I was told not to exactly. It's a surprise for a project we're doing. But yeah, hey, everybody. We'll do
Oh, good.
Oh, what's
Udi,
up? What are we
Udi
missing?
Can't give us money this time.
Lovely.
I'm so happy.
What happened? Did he go broke finally?
No, apparently not. He's actually doing well with his finances, much to my chagrin.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Hate that, but.
But yeah, so 2025, for December 1st, what did we read this month? I have a list of it.
Go ahead. But I'll be honest. It was so much that I spaced out.
So we finished up the SPFBO last month. And the three of them we read was The Lost War, The Grey Bastards, and the last one I'm going to pull up, because I'm forgetting already, it was earlier in the month, and The Thief Who Pulled on Trouble's Braids. So we
did read that.
We did those three. And then also I read The Shadow of the Gods for a book club for Discord that we're doing as well. But that one is, and I'm continuing with The Hunger of Gods right after that as well, book two in the series. That was my first John Gwynn. But those were the four I read, but I believe you read differently, right? We read the three SPFBO's books, but then you went and read something else.
I read The Haunt for Jackals, the book two. This is the sequel to By Blood by Salt. I really enjoyed it. I had a good time.
More than book one.
Close. They're about the same. Going into book two, it was heavily leaning on like one particular character. I'm invested in like, okay, there's a bunch of setup. The setup needs to pay off for this character. I both am satisfied and like also left hanging and still need for more. There's another book. So, okay. There's talks. I have thoughts. So I'm not. It's not complaints. It's trepidations of where this is going to go.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
It went in a more normal direction than I expected it to go.
Okay.
And so, but point is, I really liked the book. I think it's really, really well done. Very interesting. You'll get to it eventually.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Will. Absolutely. Yeah.
Also, Justin over there, our buddy, asking for Aragorn.
No, never. No.
We already read Aragorn. It's called what?
Fire, of Blood and Fire.
Of Blood and Fire. Yeah, we already read it. What are you talking about?
Well, that came out after Aragorn, of course. But yes, yeah.
Yes.
And okay, we have a comment from Sabrina saying started Thief That Pulled on Trouble's Braids yesterday. Cool. It was a fun book. Fun book.
Good, yeah, book. It was. It was a short read, super fun.
Entertaining. Yeah.
Entertaining book.
And we have a comment from Matthew saying, I believe at least Richard is starting Memories of Ice soon. Yeah, let's get that out of the way. Memories of Ice, you're starting it, right?
Monday.
You're starting.
Tomorrow, I am starting Memories of Ice. Forget all other obligations and different things. Like, it's been over a year since I've wanted to start this book. I read book two, November of 2024.
Like, people are so happy. Look,
fine. I don't care what happened. I'm reading it tomorrow. So that's not.
You're
doing.
Finishing it tomorrow. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm starting and finishing
in
it tomorrow.
One day.
Yeah.
And I will also be joining and reading it soon as well. Right now, I'm reading both The Hunger of the Gods, as I mentioned, but also Sapiens. Sapiens, it's a nonfiction book that I'd always heard about. And I was inspired to read it because Nicole and I, we were traveling throughout Europe for our honeymoon. And we were going to national history museums. My favorite of them being Prague's was awesome. And looking through natural history, archaeology, evolution, all that, and just a spark to, hey, let's listen to this on a road trip, and have been listening to that. I'm loving it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Well, it's nice, educational. Yeah. It's not we'll get to that. I'm still early on in the book, but it's very fun. I feel like I'm learning stuff.
I also got a nonfiction book that I want to read pretty soon.
Let's do it.
It's called let me grab it from my desk.
And while that's happening, I see we've got Chris saying, go get Austin to read Shadow of What Was Lost. I guess I do have to read that. I've heard good things about that book. Now, what's this, Rich?
I got Sellout.
What is that?
By Dan Ozzie. It's basically in the late 1990s, early 2000s, punk, emo, heavy metal, hardcore bands actually started becoming mainstream. And this is kind of the story about how those bands, when they were more indie, when they were underground, their fans, their identities were tied to this being the outsider, being the edgy music lovers. Like, oh, all those normies love those mainstream mm-hmm. musics. Like, we may not have jobs, we may be complete losers, but you know what we do have? We have correct music tastes. And then because these bands actually got popular, big record labels, they started becoming mainstream. And the backlash, and, you know, people calling these bands sellouts because you've taken their identity away from them of being the perpetual outsider, of the people with correct music opinions. And now normies are liking their favorite bands and they hate it.
Well,
and this is kind of just
that's cool
story on that stuff.
And it says from 19 what to 2007?
1994 to 2007.
Do you feel like that's happened with the fantasy nerd community a bit?
That the reason why
the reason
I'm getting
why you did it?
That is not exclusive to the music industry.
Yeah.
That is exclusive to everything. Politics, fantasy, sci-fi books, like everything. There, a lot of people want to be the outsider. They relish in the idea of being, you know, the small clique that like actually truly gets it. And then the minute they actually become popular, it's like, oh no,
I'm part of what I've hated.
I don't want to be the mainstream. I don't want to be winning. I want to lose. I want to be the perpetual loser.
But now with fantasy, for example, like, this is the thing in the 80s, D&D nerd.
Yeah.
And now we get Stranger Things season 5, which is ass cheeks. Sorry, I haven't finished the season yet, but it's so bad.
D&D is a similar thing. D&D was the outsider edge. Like
it was
the, you know, the fringe. Now
it's
you have D&D massive TV shows mm-hmm. from Amazon that basically take tabletop games like what are those groups that like Machinima all those
and that's old, but yeah Machinima,
but all these other mainstream groups that are doing D&D like camp. I know it's not exactly always D&D, it's like tabletop games, but they're turning it into massive franchises. Like the D&D company itself has modernized. It's become popular. Like a lot of people play D&D now, and you'll see people just like, harumph, like, no.
They can't have fun.
You took my niche thing and made it popular. Ugh.
I hate that other people are having fun with my fun hobby, you know? that's always annoying. You gotta have your...
There is the nuanced take of like when something becomes popular, it often doesn't exactly stay the same. You take your niche thing and then ultimately, you know, you smooth the edges. You try to make it more appealing to a general audience, and it can take away some of the flavor, some of the edge and spunk to it. I get that.
But, yeah, you get it.
But still, it's
also part of this
universal.
Maybe part of it is the feeling that when it does get popularized and normalized, it loses some of the charm, but also maybe obfuscates, if that's a hard word to say for me, some of the thing that you loved about it. Because when it's more niche, the fandom feels more complete, that we're all on the same page. And then fandoms grow, your hobby becomes more popular. It's like, oh, you're doing it the wrong way. I don't know, maybe with the whole sellout thing that's being talked about here, of I could imagine the music, or it feels more corporatized. It feels that, hey, if sci-fi and fantasy, we love it, it's our favorite thing. But then, you know, popular culture can take advantage of the terms fantasy and sci-fi and spew out crap.
Yeah.
You know, and then you could go, wait, the thing I love, now you're making a TV show like Wheel of Time adaptation, or take Rings of Power, you know, things that we've hated on, and go, oh, it's the thing I love, and you're just making it
I do not think cool. Popular things really can't be your identity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Of like, I guess you can, but there's something really lame about someone basing their entire personality on liking Marvel films when the Marvel films are popular. Like, that can't be your whole thing. That can't be your whole identity. That's real lame, because that's just a thing popular culture likes. It can't be your whole identity. Versus
I like food.
Exactly.
You can't just say you like food. What kind of food?
Yeah. You can't base your identity around I just really like all food. I like pizza. And like, that's... Hold on. Oh, cat's scratching my expensive chair.
Oh, nope. Okay.
Off the chair. There we go.
I guess that's one way of doing it.
So you can make your identity of like, oh, I'm a big foodie. I like trying like odd or, you know, divergent food from my standard or typical culture.
Mm-hmm.
That can be an identity. So I think that's the thing that people like.
We've just solved something here. We've solved something.
When it becomes popular, you've stripped my identity from me.
Mm.
That's how I see it.
It does seem to ring true. It does. And I love how we have a comment here. 2 minutes of recap, then just rambling since then. Of course, it has to be. And Jacob, I haven't finished Stranger Things yet. I only watched the first four, and I'm already going like, what's going on here? I've only watched the first four episodes. I'm going to continue and finish, but I thought season four was freaking awesome. It was so good. And then I've been mainly just the dialogue and the acting is what's shocking me for Stranger Things. It's not even like storyline has issues, of course, storyline, but I'm just shocked by the drop in quality from the literal dialogue of it. And I'm really stunned by that. And no, it is not nearly as bad as the Game of Thrones season 8 finale, especially because what Game of Thrones failed and destroyed was a cultural icon as well. That's the more sad thing. It had more room to fall.
Stranger Things has been, it is pretty close to our last, like, most recent cultural icon I can think of in popular,
not Game of Thrones level culture, though, but I get what you mean. But I wouldn't say it hit that level of what Game of Thrones was. Mm-hmm. But certainly it's very popular.
I watched episode one, and I had to take breaks every like 15 minutes because I was real bored. I gave up. I'm not finishing it. Episode one was enough for me.
Look what Jacob said. Oh my God. Oh no. Hey, Jacob, I might need to collab with you and your pops on that, because I don't think Rich is finishing. I don't think he has the heart to continue. Mm-hmm. So we might have to chat about that. Also with, so that's December, what we read, what we are reading. You mentioned Memories of Ice, reading Hunger of the Gods. What our goals for, I guess before we get goals for 2026, so we want to recap 2025, big things, big moments that happened, being joyous. It's the new year now. What did you enjoy from last year? Our big milestones that stand out to you?
We interviewed Sanderson. Come on. We have accomplished the goal we set out episode one. We've done it. If everything goes down the tubes tomorrow, we've accomplished our goal. At this point, we're on the back nine.
We're on fine. Borrowed time, though.
We're on borrowed time. At this point, the world is our oyster. We can do what we want. There is no, like, we've accomplished the big goal. We don't even have a greater goal now for the podcast itself. Like, okay, what we have to find something new. I don't know. What is our next podcast goal to do?
That I have a couple things down for me personally on okay, there. Shoot. And well, first I want to mention we started the year with interviewing Abercrombie.
That is true.
Isn't that sad that gets pushed down in your thought cage because
it does? Okay, here's the thing. It's because Abercrombie is amazing, awesome author. However, when we interviewed him, mm-hmm. about like 5 minutes into talking to him, it stopped being like, oh, wow, really famous author. And just like, oh, guy we're kind of shooting the shit with and we get to dunk on Austin for having bad opinions together. It was great.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
He
actually.
Was just one of the boys, like 5 minutes in. And yeah, guy's super cool.
Yeah, he's very fun. And we also interviewed Fonda Lee this year as well. And of course had the gala with Rocky of Sun Eater. It was a big Sun Eater year for us. Mm-hmm. And getting to interview Rocky twice, go to his place, that whole experience we've talked about at length. And also the SPF BO, which we mentioned earlier, of just being able to judge that for the competition, super cool. And also a fun note of we started the year having read and reviewed Wind and Truth and ended the year with Shadows Upon Time. I thought that was a bit cinematic. These end of series, or okay, the end of yes. arc one of the Stormlight Archive. I get it. It's just colloquially, I'll say the end of that part of Stormlight and then the end of Sun Eater. So it's fun there. That we had basically a year of Sun Eater, a lot of that, and fun interviews. But for next year, Rich, mm-hmm. what main series and books do you want to get and goals for reading? And then we'll get into channel stuff and all of that. But okay. reading wise, 2026, what do you want it to look like?
The main thing, and we've talked about this offline as well, the biggest negative I had with our reading schedules in 2025 was starting a lot of series and ultimately not finishing it. Mm-hmm. I want this to be the year of if both of us like a book one, the next book we read, or very recently, like maybe we have a break book in between, but next book we read is book two. Then if we both like a book three, if one of us likes it, we read on. Like as long as one of us really likes it, I want to actually just finish series.
Yeah.
Unless both of us think it's complete dog water, then we have our nasty review and we're like, blah, garbage. And then we don't finish. That's fine.
That is how we sound. Nah.
We don't have to hate read all the books. But point is, I want to actually finish series in a timely manner. That's my main goal.
People in chat are saying that, like, hey, look, we have to finish Excalibur. Yeah,
yeah, I
finish
know.
That's have to finish Cornwall series there. Malazan, that's big. We are going to be doing a Malazan book three review in 2026, which is going to be big. And I joked in the Discord, but then 2027 will be book four. Every year, a Malazan book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have to finish the Dandelion Dynasty is a big one.
Yep.
We have to finish, I mean, there's an
Game of Thrones.
List. Yes.
Song of Ice and Fire. We have to finish that.
We have to finish First Law.
First Law as well.
In general, main series.
Especially because we both know it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says that the subsequent series is
way
better, than First Law. And of course, we love, you know, we love how Joe Abercrombie writes his characters. We know it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to finish that. God, there's so many.
Thank you, Kendall. I pronounced it right. Bloodsworn Book 3 review this year. We'll have all three.
We'll have all three this year. Yeah. It'll be relatively quick succession. Like, we'll be reviewing book one next couple weeks, whenever we get around to starting our next review schedule. And then book two will be pretty quick after that. And then when you start book three, I'm going to start book three. Because awesome. I've only read the first two books, so I'll move on to book three.
And we have hopefully reading says Warlord Chronicles was my top series of the year. Love to hear that. I imagine it's going to be a great series. I already love the first two books, so third one.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it doesn't drop in quality. I'm excited for it. And Jack saying, awesome, what do you think about Pluribus finale? I have finished 7 of the episodes. I didn't watch the last 2 yet because I was away for 2 weeks. I'm very excited to. I haven't finished it yet, but I really love the show. I really enjoy it. Up through the 7 episodes so far. I know it's been somewhat mixed online for the feelings of Pluribus, but I feel like I get it. Like, not okay, I shouldn't say it that way. I feel like I'm the target audience for a lot of it too, because it's a very thought-provoking, fascinating sci-fi series made by the same person who wrote Breaking Bad, I believe. So it's so well done, and I have a lot to say on it, but since I haven't finished the finale yet, I'll hold until I finish the season. After finish the season, I want to talk about it at some form. If you don't end up watching Pluribus, I'll just spoil it for you anyways. If you okay. you know,
I'd and like have to watch it.
I'd love for you to watch it, but okay. Please watch it. Yeah.
I have lots to say. It's hard for me to actually sit down and watch a television show nowadays.
This one's worth it.
I know. It's just any television has been difficult for me to just sit down and watch. I don't know why.
Have you started it yet? I think you'll be hooked by this one.
I will try it's to really watch interesting. It this coming week.
Yeah. And here's the take on it too, with Pluribus. It's just go into it with the expectation of, okay, it's a, you know what? I won't spoil you at all. Then we have a question from Vanna. Is the 3-body problem on the schedule for 2026?
Oh, it ought to be. Not officially, but it should be.
It should be. We should get to that. I feel like that's important to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kian says, how about some more Discworld? Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Yes. Let's just commit to every series.
Yeah, why not? Let's just do it.
Wait, who's the first person we're going to say no to today? Let's look for Ooh, that. Yeah. I want to let's find somebody to say no to.
How about this? We commit. Justin was asking us to read Aragorn. Let's commit to not reading Aragorn.
Let's find somebody
this year.
Else to say no to.
That's true. That's a layup.
Okay, we got Ethan say, have you guys heard of Empire of a Vampire? No, not reading it. I mean, I really want to read it. Because Kendall sent that book series, the beautiful
years
edition.
Ago.
So
and
I
you
owe,
have to read.
I owe Kendall.
You
yeah.
do.
Okay. Sorry, I gotta get to that. And Jack says, I like the person who gets me excited for season 2. Awesome. I'm excited to finish watching the show. What are your thoughts on Christopher Nolan's Odyssey trailer? Asks Cuban. Did you watch it?
I don't think I've seen the trailer.
I actually did, and I don't like watching trailers.
Oh. Thoughts?
I don't have thoughts on it.
No,
I saw the pictures beforehand of Matt Damon, and my thoughts going into it already this of Nolan is an amazing director, and I know a lot of people are focused on the costumes and the set pieces of the period maybe not being accurate, whatever. I don't know enough to have complaints about the look of it. I don't know enough to have complaints about that. I'm excited for it. I'm excited because it's Christopher Nolan. But I'm more excited to also read the book this upcoming year, and then also watch the movie. I'm going to go into the movie with expectations. Okay, this is a modern Christopher Nolan take on the Odyssey. Like with all having all those caveats, I think I'll be able to enjoy it more. Then I don't think you're going to go into this expecting like the Greek myth is returned. You know, it's the same kind of vibe you get when watching the movie Troy. I really like that film. It's badass. Brad Pitt as Achilles, right? I have that right?
Yeah.
Is kick ass in that movie. Now, is it accurate? Is it that, all these questions? No, but it's so fun. And I'm just hoping that the Odyssey is the same. So I think it'll be good. What do you think?
I mean, I have a lot of trust in Christopher Nolan. I think the only I haven't even seen the movies, but I've just heard everything with Tenet is probably his only miss.
Have you seen Tenet?
No, but I've seen everything else he makes. Yeah. So, and I heard Tenet was pretty bad, and I didn't want to spoil my opinion of Christopher Nolan by watching it.
Exactly.
So I just didn't watch it.
That's the same decision I made. We have a question from Alex. Are you going to read some classics again this year?
Oh, yeah. The Odyssey. That's one of them.
Yeah.
That is one of them. I'd like to read some more Jane Austen, personally.
Now, yes. I think a goal for 2026 with reading its finishing series. Going outside, reading more classics and important, quote unquote, important books is good, because we've been this last year. We did focus a lot more on indie, and which is great. I mean, we were also part of a judging competition, but we read a lot of books that aren't super well known. So we want to get more books that are referenceable, I guess, which is a lot of classics that we'll be able to read, which will be fun. While also getting more of hopefully Discovery book 2, you know, book 2 and Discovery out there. That's what I'm hoping for. We have Scott says Troy was good, could have been great had they not cut the gods from it. There was gods in it? They cut gods?
From the actual myth and story.
Oh, I thought he was saying that there was scenes that they had that they cut out. I gotcha. Understood, Scott. Sorry. Then we have, someone's saying Tenet is good. Interesting. Then Tenet is confusing. I guess it's a controversial one. BBD says, what book series are you ready for their new edition? Anything you're ready for?
Dungeon Crawler Carl is definitely up there for me. I can't wait for that one. Mm-hmm. Probably the most anticipated. And it's not even confirmed. I'm just assuming and hoping that Red God is released in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
It may. Who knows?
I don't think it will be.
You don't think so? Mm-mm. Why so?
My prediction for this is twofold. One, the wait between Dark Age and Lightbringer being from 2019 to 2024, a five-year wait, makes me think that or was it 2023? Whatever it was like a four-year gap or something like that. I think the jump from book six to book seven is probably going to be equal, 3 to 4 years is my mm-hmm. guess. So just seeing what his pace has been so far, that's the first thing. Second thing is I thought I saw some things online of him saying how many words were written and how Lightbringer took him, was it Lightbringer? He wrote like 400,000 words of it and then restarted Lightbringer. I think he might have a similar thing with Red God of he'll write stuff and have it done, but then he'll have multiple versions. And I think that will take him a little longer.
Also, isn't that kind of the trend or the, it's at least the habit of pantsers when they write? Yeah, the first book is always like they could write it super fast, but as it goes along, when they get to the conclusion of the series, a pantser is having a lot harder time. Actually, it takes them a lot longer to finish the series in comparison to a plotter. Because I'm pretty sure Chris Brown's mostly a pantser, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think so. That could have changed over time, but you're also, mm-hmm. it's very true to say, especially for a series that happens. Stephen King, he pumps out a lot of standalones, but he's done series too, where he's clearly been able to pump those out. But your famous example of George R. R. Martin.
Yeah,
being more of a pantser
mm-hmm.
and not having that done yet. That's the first thing that comes up. Ask Martin. Now, Scott says, I suspect Red Gods will be two books. I think he'll stick with one. I think he will. And I think it'll be a very long book. But I could see it getting split into two. Because I thought he already wanted it to be six book series, but now it's a seven. So I don't know if he'll do that again. That would be, we'll see. TBD. But I think it's coming out 2027 or 2028. I would not expect it this year. I'm withholding my excitement because I don't want to be disappointed when it doesn't come out this year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think? It's like, what do you think?
I was hoping it was going to come out this year. I think I'm agreeing with you. I think it's going to be one book, but the longer it goes on, the more likely it becomes that it's a two book thing.
You think so?
You know, if we're getting into like 2027 and no word,
probably
two books. That's my guess.
Okay. But I'm going to say, here's my prediction. Let's do a little Nostradamusing here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Red God, it's going to be one book and it's coming out 2027 in the month. What's a good month that books come out? November was a lot of month of November, 2027.
That's a long way away.
That's when it's coming out.
All right. I'll say it comes out August 2027.
Oh, damn it. Dang. That's, your price is writing me.
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Or I guess not, because then you would say December, then you get everything after. But yeah. We have May from you. For 26, we would know. Yeah, that's also the case, too. We would probably know by now. GGG. So does Awesome now prefer Sun Eater over Red Rising? Red Rising isn't finished yet, but right now Sun Eater is my favorite completed series. So we'll see. Red Rising has a lot to. If there's one that could topple it, it would be that. But I don't know. I'm not confident because it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to topple Sun Eater for me. So we'll see. And yeah, that's what I get for guessing first. Any more predictions? Cuban says maybe Rich getting hair. That's we haven't had a good list of hair jokes in a while.
No,
that's good that it's brought up. Now, Rich, for 2026 for predictions wise, goals wise, I have a couple.
Okay,
do you have any goal on the top of your head?
Finish series was my number one goal.
Yes, that's true.
That is the goal.
So outside of reading goals, this is for channel goals for the next year. The number one being this, and this is happening in 2026, our Rambler rating website.
There was a question up there of like, hey, do we have a Goodreads or anything where we put all of our ratings? No, because we're going to have our own website for it.
And the website will be up in 2026, and we're getting it beta ready for our patrons in this next month. Or this month, January. Yeah. So we're going to have some beta version very soon where it's already going to be started, and then we will full release it. And it's going to be the Rambler rating system with designs and our, well, we'll have a video on it, but we think it's the best. Okay. We think it's going to be an actual good rating site with that is helpful because we're okay. I love Letterboxd. I love other, like, if you check out hardcover for books, they're great as well. But trying to mix the best of other rating sites where it's the Rotten Tomatoes-esque percentages with the Letterboxd interface and the anal breakdown we do. But I will wait for the video of release when we do have the website. But I have a lot to say. And that's why we're building the website. Thanks to our developer, Alex. So I can't wait for it to be there so I can finally have something to go, hey, here's what, look at my awful book takes, here they are, and go, well, put your takes on there too.
Well, we find like it's a little bit of our own thing, but then combining the best of what already exists of,
yes,
the fact that I believe it's you that like cracked that code of what it, how to act, the difference between the aggregate and the individual and what actually is useful.
Yes, it's so frustrating. Yes,
and, yes, brilliant.
Okay, but I can't emphasize this enough. How useless is it to go to Goodreads and see a 4.1? What does that mean? Or a 4 or a 3.9? It's so useless information when you're going to find a book. No one looks at Goodreads to go like, hey, look at that number, I should go read the book now. Because I think anyways, there's
an asshole to the entire
but yeah, thank you everybody for saying you're excited for it. Yes, should vlog it? Are you guys traveling anywhere this year? Okay, that's another thing to talk about for 2026. So
yes.
Okay, first off, Rambler rating site, put that aside for now. That's going to be out. We're going to have videos on that. Stay tuned. Travel, Rich.
Yes.
Holy crap,
we got FOMO this year.
We got a lot of FOMO from Dragonsteel.
Yeah. So we want to go to Dragonsteel this year. Also Worldcon, which is in LA this year as well. So yeah.
Also Worldcon, possibly. Oh, the Worldcon.
That's what I meant.
Oh, Worldcon, you meant, yeah. And
oh, did I?
Also
Fig, don't jump up there.
Oh, Fig,
Austin's allergic to you. Don't do that.
Yeah, I am allergic to hair, I guess, from cats. I found that out. That's fun. But yeah. Also we have Comic-Con, I've heard, is great to go to.
I don't want to go to Comic-Con.
I've heard some great names are going. I've heard there's a lot of events.
So I was on my motorcycle heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously. And I hit him broadside, flew over the car, and landed. Broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on. But I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the Advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me. And they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call.
I've just always heard Comic-Con's really smelly. It's the reason why I liked Dragonsteel, is it wasn't smelly. Like, there were a lot of, like, families there. It was great. And there was space. Just...
Dragonsteel does do a lot for the fantasy name, you know?
It was
like,
great.
Look at us. We don't look like the most put together base of, hey, look, we like fantasy books and we don't wear deodorant. That's what we give off.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And so you go to Dragonsteel and it gets rid of some of those myths. You're going, hey, look, not us, because we were just walking around like this was also last year as well. It was Christmas time. There were a lot of families there. Like, you're seeing kids, you're seeing the age range was from, what would you say, like 12 to 70?
Something like that. Yeah. Everyone was there.
Now, I imagine that's the same at other cons as well. But I thought that was neat. I thought it was just going to be a bunch of, like, I don't know, like 30s, like 20s, 30s, 40s. But it was, and not just, we saw one older person, younger person. It was very well spread out. Very cool. I can imagine the view. Yeah. Oh, Albert, the favorite places I went to in Europe. I mean, I went to 20 different cities in Europe. It was a road trip throughout Central Europe. My favorite of all of them, I'm wearing the socks. I'll do a little quick sock reveal, was this. Can anybody read that? I don't know. Prague.
It says Prague.
Yeah, Prague was my absolute favorite city of all the ones we visited. That was, I have nothing. But, and then the right below that would be, like, tied with it, would be Salzburg in Austria, which Mozart's birthplace, and it's also where they filmed Sound of Music. Gorgeous city. Oh, my God. Gorgeous. But that, yeah, I would say Prague and Salzburg. There was, oh, we went to so many cool spots. Do you want to early reveal your socks? They're already asking for it now.
Oh, okay, sure.
Early sock reveal. Oh, no God. Socks. Oh, horrid. Maddie says I could leave now. That's what they stay for. Sometimes they're funny. did we celebrate? Yes, we did Christmas and New Year. You also traveled a little bit for holidays.
Yeah, no, I went back to Albuquerque with the family a little bit, and then I went to San Diego to help out with some stuff for my cousin and everything. So
fun time.
And yeah, for free. That's your little Christmas present, everyone. In this economy, like, yeah,
make it those for free. And then we have John in here saying, hey guys, just want to break in and say you guys are the bestest in the middle of you revealing your feet. John, thank you, always wholesome in the midst of our chaos.
Yeah. By the way, do you want to continue asking or answering questions and talk,
you go
chatting with them while I go get the packages?
Yes. No, let me tell you, okay, one thing, if you, the one from Maxwell, don't okay, pull them aside first so I can, okay, then you'll distract. You yes. Send them me. I'll just, I got you. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go get packages.
Rich is going to get packages. I'll distract you all for the next 5 minutes. And I'll answer some questions here. And Judgmental says, wait, did Quentin Tarantino just join the chat? And Alter says, how much do you estimate the library in the background cost? Now that's a good question for everybody. The most expensive thing is certainly Rich's Wheel of Time collection here from Juniper Books. That's his prize and joy, I would say, of everything. And Rich and I both have this rule. This is certainly Rich's rule. I can say this for him as well, is when it comes to books, that money's not real. You know, it's just, if there's book, ebook, audio, physical, there's no price limit on books. Now, of course, depending on your hobbies, you're going to spend more money on your whichever hobby it might be. But books, when I walk into a bookstore, prices don't exist. And that's a problem. It's an actual problem, because it's not good for the wallet, but it is good for the soul. Albert says $12. That's probably closer to correct. Darksteel says, how do you make space for all the books? Do you use audio or ebooks? For Rich's library here, this entire room is dedicated to just the bookshelf here. So it's all the books in here that he has. And if there's ever, I mean, there's still extra space on some of the shelves, but he also owns a ton of ebooks. We own audiobooks too. So all different formats. And then Jonah says, until you have kids, that's also true with the money spent. Samuel asks, what music do you like listening to? Me personally, music's one of those things where I don't have a specific genre that I always go to. It's very mood based. It's very much, hey, am I in a jazzy setting, or am I in am I feeling a little disco, a little ABBA-esque? It's I could listen to almost any genre of music, other than, and I'm sorry to anger people, it's just, this is the one genre of music I've not found something I've liked, is like the heavy screeching metal, like, you know, like the yelling type stuff. So I guess the, what do you call it? The raging, like, you know, with the head bopping. like, I see people have a lot of fun. That I have not found something yet. Every other genre of music, you name it, I can find something I love in whatever else it is. That's the one thing. And if anybody wants to put me on to something heavy metal that I'll like, send it over, because I've yet to find something that I like. And yes, death metal. I think that's the name of it. That I can't find death metal I like. It's just not my thing. Somebody help. And also that kind of goes back to the emo bands from Richbrook. Maybe some of these bands in here can change my mind. I don't know. Oh, Rich, we got the stuff. I was just getting into music. This would have been your thing. Okay, I have to, here, let me go through and make sure we don't open the wrong one. You entertain them. 1 second. That's on my side. All right, hold on 1 second. We're going to open up our Christmas packages and presents shortly. Rich, you got it? All right. Here you go.
All right, there we go. Oh, God. What I miss here. Austin looks like a metalhead.
What? Huh? Who said that?
I don't know. Someone credible, I think. Yeah, Kendall says you look like such a metalhead.
Oh, I thought you said melonhead.
Oh, I do like that better.
I was like, who called me a melonhead?
Maxwell's asking if his arrived yet.
So. Max, we're looking right now.
Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Will we start that before the show comes out? I'd like to, especially since we promised Bookborne that we'd read it like a year ago. So I would like to, but
this is all of them.
We'll find out. Now someone here asked, what did we think of the AI slop art in the illustrated A Feast for Crows? I heard this, but didn't get to see much about it. So I haven't, because I'm not the biggest Game of Thrones guy, I haven't looked too much into it. But no, in general, AI slop is slowly, actually quite rapidly killing my general interest in most things in society.
This was all the stuff, right?
Yeah, that's everything.
Maxwell, I'm searching hard. Hold on.
It'll be international, if that helps.
Maxwell, did you put your name? Did you put Maxwell on it, or how would you have it addressed to? As I'm searching here.
All right. Samuel is saying, remember this comment when it happens. One of these days, I will send you guys a Morning Glory milking farm, and you will be
end
obligated
stream.
To read
end the stream.
It. Huh?
You said the word. You said Morning Glory. End the stream. It's it. It's a rule now. Anytime someone
and
comments that.
And removed. How do we ban people? Cannot. Cat. Nope.
Okay, yeah. Maxwell, message me on Discord. I'm going to take a picture.
But here, let's take out one of the not Maxwell.
I want to make sure because we don't want to open that one. So this one's from Tom. Here, we'll do this first. Just make sure that, don't put his address on camera. Make sure you open it the right way. From Tom.
The Immeasurable Heaven by Casper Gyan.
What is that? Where's this book?
Here, you read this while I look inside that package if there's anything we're missing.
Okay. So the race for reality has begun. This is The Immeasurable Heaven by Casper Gyan. The galaxy of Yoakum's death has been settled since the immemorial. There is only one frontier left, and it's one-way journey to pierce the skin of existence and delve the countless younger universes beneath. Okay, interesting.
Very cool.
This is I'm not sure if this is sent from Casper or if this was somebody else that sent the book to us. I'm seeing
seems
that,
like it's someone else because it says it, from Tom.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, thank you very much,
I don't
Tom.
I didn't know if it was a pen name or what, but yes, from Solaris. Thank you very much, Tom, for sending that.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Here, you start. Don't show the address. You just open it below. There we go. I'm going to. Meanwhile, and yes, Altar, these are from viewers that have sent us stuff. So I wanted, for anybody that's just tuning in now, this is stuff that we were sent pre-Christmas time. So this is a little gift opening session. And thank you. Thank you again, Tom, for sending
another package.
Packageception. All right. Fantasy Joe, yes, we do use e-readers. I use a Kobo. Oh,
look at this.
Oh, that's neat.
I use an Onyx books, a books device.
Cuban, we open every package that we do get. We check the P.O. box, I would say, every couple weeks. And we open that. We open everything we get on the live stream.
We got little presents. They were even wrapped. Oh, look at that.
This is Rich. This is to you.
Oh, this is to me. Okay. To Richard and Austin, good things come to those who wait. And no, this isn't what you're waiting for, but I thought it was time you were somewhat rewarded for your patience. Oh, and when
is this? This might be Maxwell's. Hold on now. This might be his. Wait. Sorry, we just need to make sure we're not doing anything we're not supposed to be doing right now.
I think it is.
It is. Okay.
We're going to hold off then. We'll put these aside.
Yes, put these aside. Yep, put those aside.
Gimme.
All right. This is a project we're working on. We're going to do that off camera. That's special. That's a little.
It's going to stay there.
No spoilers.
That is a video years in the making.
A little hint for later. You guys can come back to this one day and you'll see what we mean.
My God, what the hell is this thing?
Now, this is a Bigums.
This is a Bigums.
You see, when we say Christmas, this is what I want to see under my tree. Yeah. Not that stuff the scribe Maxwell got, little envelopes.
Also, this is from Bane Books.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like officially.
Very cool. And I kid, Maxwell, thank you. That's a lot of books.
Holy crap.
What the heck is this?
Yoink.
Another person said it. We gotta end.
Oh, no.
What is this?
Please enjoy your officially sanctioned year-end period of reduced productivity from all of us at BAN. Oh, my God. They actually... They'll sign their card. Oh, look at that. How nice of them. Let's see. What do we got here? He's got a bunch of books from BAN. Look at this. Tom Kratman, for the glory, for the eternal glory of Rome. That's already up our alley.
That sounds sick.
The Bronze Legion to tread obsidian shores. There we go. Oh, and this is written by two people.
I always like that.
Dual author book. Let's take a look.
I'm still focused on this. For the eternal glory of Rome. They know I like Red Rising.
Got some of these mass market size books. Ooh, cool. David Webner, Jane Linsgold, A Star Kingdom novel, Friends Indeed. Ooh, this is looking like some classic sci-fi.
Lovely.
Put that there. And this, I do know, my dad likes these books. 1637, The Pacific Initiative, Ivor P. Cooper. This is really cool. Cosmic Catastrophe, The Ring of Fire, strands the West Virginia town of Grantville back in time in the middle of the 30 Years' War. One of its ripple effects is that Japan is pulled back from a policy of isolation. It staked out its own claim on the West Coast of North America, but is not the only power interested in that new part of the world. And the Native Americans have also responded in different ways to the unexpected colonists. And there are conflicts among the colonists themselves. This is some fun historical fantasy fiction.
Lovely. Lovely. And then two big books.
Are
they trade paperback in there? Or?
These are some trade paperbacks here. Wen Spencer Tinker, book one of the Elf Home series. Hold on. Hard to see above the other books.
Hey, Storm Sign. Thanks for tuning in.
That is hard to see. Light is difficult.
Here, I can hold one too.
That one looks cool.
That's very neat. And this is all from Bond Books. Thank you a bunch.
Is it Ban or Bond?
Ban?
I think it's Ban, but I'm not sure.
Ban. Thank you, Ban Books.
Heart of the Mountain, Saga of the Forgotten Warrior. Jim Butcher, really like everything I like in fantasy. Look at that. Larry Correa.
Also, we have questions from people saying Malazan. Do you want to remind them? People that didn't tune in earlier about Malazan, you're reading Memories of Ice.
Yep, I'm reading Memories of Ice tomorrow. I'm starting it tomorrow.
Just for the people that were asking there. Rich is starting. I will be starting it soon as well. And why are you guys spamming that in the chat? Screw you all. You'll all rue the day. All right. Now we've got this one. Be careful with
Ederson. Yep.
And I'll open this while you're doing that one. These are the last two. Then we'll get back to questions. Thank you, everybody, for these books. This is awesome. Here we go. Albert, see you at the book club. Good chatting.
Ooh, I like this cover a lot.
Here we go.
The Memories of Birds, Olivia Fraser.
I like
that little little phoenix on here. Phoenix and a king or something.
I like that title.
Let's read the back here. For generations, all humans living on the egg have been caged in Heaven's City. Given no name, enslaved humans are known by their bird, a birthmark most humans bear on their face. Guarded by the dogheads, their pitiless jailers, they exist only to serve the Shilosh, cruel overlords that humans cannot see, though their voices high above all mortals here. But no more. Somehow, a griffin-marked man has found the courage to lead his people out of the terrible cage to freedom, a new land and a new life. Now they must stand together. Easier said than done. Griffon sends his personal ambition in one of his followers, threatening dissent and division. If he is not careful, all they have fought so hard to win will be destroyed. And even if they do succeed, Griffon knows that they are not yet truly free. No matter how long it takes, the ruthless Shosh, I don't know how to pronounce that, and their brutalized dogheads will stop at nothing to recapture Griffon and his people and return all humans to face a life of slavery more terrible than before. They have no choice. They must face a future marked by brutal war, be prepared to sacrifice their lives, see those they love fall in battle. There is some hope for the humans of the egg in friendship with the Rhea, mysterious people with magic powers, but will that be enough? Rhea magic is powerful, but that tyrannical Shosh will wreak savage vengeance upon anyone seeking to thwart them. How long will it be before the Rhea abandon their human friends to their fate?
And we also have, this one was sent from Simon & Schuster, from by Elizabeth Ann Martins. It's called Opposition Site World. And this is, when memories are malleable, dreams become a battlefield, and reality is only a shifting landscape, you can't always trust your dreams. But what if you can't trust your waking life either?
I like that cover a lot.
Very cool cover. I like that. That's a opposition. And I'm sure it has to do with the storyline as well about reality and dreams and what is real. Very cool. Thank you, everybody, for sending that stuff.
Really
appreciate it. Lovely. All right. Do you want to set these aside too so they can see faces? And there we go. All right. Back to questions. This one tossed. The figs up, not down there. Okay, good. I didn't want to throw it on.
Oh, no, don't worry. Figs playing around with all the trash.
Okay. All right. Now we have, some Brett saying, Tenet is awesome. Don't listen to the haters.
But what if I am one? Do I not listen to myself?
That is a thing of when you hear somebody that you admire, you like their stuff, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear the, I don't want to see something that makes me think less of my favorite director or whoever it might be, you know? Mm-hmm. Where is this one? Random question. Are you guys pro iPhone or Android for cell phones?
Android all the way.
iPhone. Actually, I kind of think if you watch the podcast too, you can tell Rich gives off Android energy. I give off iPhone energy. I'm not proud of it. I find no glory in my technology.
That's an insult or a compliment, whichever line you stand on.
It is. It's like,
thing is, and I also am not a big iPhone hater in general. Like,
yeah,
they do have great phones, and especially, here's the thing. It depends on people's priorities. If you care about, if you do not care about technology, you just want the goddamn thing to work all the time,
mm-hmm,
and work well with all the other things. Like, you're busy, you have other stuff to do. Get an iPhone, get a Mac. Like, you just want the thing to work and you don't want to tinker. If you care about other priorities of like security, privacy, any kind of sustainability, price,
you just like listed that, all the good things
that go with Android. The thing that you buy with all of that is time. Often Android, unless you buy a Samsung, all the other Androids have problems and you have to like deal with it.
Richard said, the fucking bastard. Sorry, I had to use that. That, I know that's his image of me too. It pisses me off. I know that half the people that watched are like, oh yeah, that's totally what Austin does, bastard. Okay. Sorry. You're so right though about like, hey, if you, I feel like an Android user is more you. I look at you and I look at you and I go, Android.
Yeah, no, I was telling people like in our Discord, we were hanging out, we were streaming a little game and chatting. And the whole I was an Apple fan,
mm-hmm,
until the moment where on my little iPod Touch, I couldn't
put the apps on the bottom half of the screen and leave the top half open. Because my thumb was short and I was like, I don't want to reach all the way to the top left corner. I can't do that with iPhone. And so I got Android for that. And that was the entire reason. That was the only reason that, like, why won't you let me customize it? Like, why can't I just put it within thumb range? Now iPhone has done that. Yeah, you can move your apps wherever you want.
Yeah.
But
they couldn't when you were looking at it.
Exactly. And so now I'm too far down the rabbit hole of not liking iPhone. But that was my whole reason initially. My 13th reason.
It's 13th reason, yes. Sure, finally did a dig at you. Look at that. Ha. Yeah.
No, pedantic stomps who make all the wrong choices. 100%. You know how many wrong choices I've made with phones of just like, oh, that's a cool concept, but it's like a terrible phone and it's like awful. I have bought, like, I keep going on Kickstarter and all those like weird indie company, like went on Indiegogo and bought an Android phone because it had an e-ink screen. Poor choice. Did not work well as a phone. Couldn't do the one thing that it needed to do,
which was
make calls.
Oh, okay.
It would ignore calls.
No longer a phone. That's a
Like, people would like try and call me, and it was like it just went straight to voicemail. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Honestly, I can see that being a great thing for, besides work and needing to answer phone calls. That's probably great for your well-being.
That was the main reason. My boss was a little upsetty spaghetti.
my phone I bought from the sweatshops of China is not working correctly, boss.
he kept harping on me to get just a normal fucking phone. So he could call me.
Yeah, it was funny to look at your phone. It, like, any time that you did bring out your phone around our friends, it was a conversation starter. You were going, "What is that?" It was almost as if showing caveman rocks in a fire. It was interesting.
I still like that phone. The minimal phone is the one that he's talking about. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was buggy as shit. I don't know if I got a defective unit or something, but I literally can't use it anymore just because of the defective software. But I love when it works. I love that thing. I found a new one, though. I'm going to get another weird phone that everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is that?
I don't even I want to see it.
It'll come out like late next year, I think, or late this year, something like that.
The next end of year recap, you'll see it. We also have questions here. Book of so Da is asking, will you finish Book of the New Sun and Earth of the New Sun in 2026?
Yes.
I'm also itching to read the next book in that. I am itching to read it. I want to take my time with that, though. I've been pushing it off a little bit. One, we haven't been able to schedule a time to get together with everybody. I think scheduling that will first get me to then start it because I want to read it close to our discussion point as well.
You haven't read book two yet?
No.
Oh, I've read book two a while ago. I read it in anticipation. I thought we were going to do it, but then it fell through.
Well, it fell through twice. And then so now I'm going like, I think I'll schedule one and then that'll get me to start reading it. So it's fresh when we have the discussion. Or I'll just read it now and then force the scheduling. Or we just have to make sure it works. Because there's 9-10 people we have to get together. 11, I think. Well, basically 10 or 11 people. So maybe we just do one that works for like 9 out of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we need to make the discussion happen. That's on me to get that to work. But we will be finishing that certainly.
And in the year. Someone here. The Onyx Palma 2. I've looked at it. I've considered.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't do phone calls, and that was what I mainly needed it for. So that's a no from me.
And have you ever read a book that was too smart for you to enjoy? Actually, talking about these books.
Book of the New Sun.
Book of the New Sun, yeah.
Yeah. I did not enjoy it nearly as much until our discussion.
Yeah.
Our discussion improved my opinion of the book greatly.
Might as well. Yep. And we've also things, Rich, could go back to this list. Any other goals for 2026? Because there was the second one. We talked reading websites, then we're talking reading. Second one is Tutor Real.
Yes.
I wanted to mention that because we're getting to the end of our time here. The second channel we have Tutor Real, we're doing film and movie stuff. A focus for next year is to get that where we're watching more movies and posting on there as well.
That'll be a higher priority item than it was this year, especially. I really want to get that channel going. Because with Tutor Ramble, like a lot of our thoughts was like, trying to think how we're going to do it, of just like, oh, let's tweak this. Let's figure out what we're doing. Let's change something. I think we're good. We do a book review and then we do a topic and then that's it. That your expectations for this next year is going to be that the whole year.
Book reviews and topics and interviews.
Book reviews and like, we got it. We got to figure it out. We know what we're doing. We're not going to like change the formula.
The
movie reviews is where we're going to have to put effort into thinking.
The whole debate is, remember we asked on a live before of, hey, would you guys want us to also post movie stuff on Tutor Ramble when we watch movies, have reviews, discuss that, or do shows? Everybody did say to put it on Tutor Ramble, which makes sense because book readers also watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
Every book reader watches movies. I could say that. Sure, there's exceptions, but book readers also watch movies. Not every moviegoer is reading fantasy and sci-fi books, so it didn't make sense for us to also post movie and show stuff on Tutor Ramble so that it doesn't clog up and that this becomes a movie. This is books, fantasy, sci-fi related. That's why we have the Tutor Reel. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I know some people are like, hey, why not just put it here as well? It just makes sense to have a separate spot for all that stuff.
Hold on. I have to correct a commenter.
Yes, of course.
The Pro on the Palma is not a phone. It accepts a SIM card for data and it will grab a data connection from a SIM, but it will not actually do any calls because it does not have cellular bands on the device. So, incorrect. The person above that said the Palma Clicks, like Palma Clicks Communicator, that's the funny phone that I want to get next.
Ben said something funny here. You could try reviewing films from the perspective of a lobotomy patient, and you might be able to enjoy some modern films. There are good. You just got to find them. There's good ones.
It's just not going to be
the most popular one. Yeah, but I get your point, Ben. Yes.
I mean, when we watched Now You See Me, Now You Don't movie, like that, I needed to turn the brain way down and you could enjoy it.
Yeah, that was definitely something.
Yeah, that was a corporate movie, like paint by numbers movie.
And Zellatrix, I would say yes. Murphy Napier's her channel change. Now, the big thing with her, it made perfect sense for her of manga became her main thing on her main channel, and her second channel, she made the books on a new channel. That's partly why we didn't want to start doing movies here, because if we started doing movies and reviews on this channel, this no longer becomes a book review channel. It's now taken over by movies. And
there would be a chance that we would get the most views from movies on the channel, and it would basically force us to move book reviews somewhere else to another channel. We don't want to do that.
So that's why starting it from the ground up with movies there.
Yep.
Otherwise, this, because people watch movies way more than if we posted a movie review on here of The Odyssey when it comes out, that's going to do way more numbers than our book review of The Thief Who Pulled on Trouble's Braids. It's just going to. And so then the channel would then be, it would be parasitic, because there'd be an audience that watches the movie stuff that just doesn't watch the book stuff. And then we'd be like, well, now we have to, what do we do here?
You completely kill your, what's the actual rate? It's not the click-through rate, is it? I think it is
click-through rate. Yeah.
So you would demolish a click-through rate, which we already have a problem with because it's books.
Yeah.
Difficult. Anyway, we are trying to avoid that issue by making it a separate channel.
Exactly.
Tutor Ramble is for books. Books, it will stay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zellatrix. That's why this channel is not going to change anytime. And we have a question from Ben. Have you considered reviewing books that have adaptations, comparing the two of them together in this sort of family? Yes. Actually, when Project Hail Mary comes out, our plan is on Tutor Reel, we'll have a movie review on Project Hail Mary. Then on Tutor Ramble, we'll have a book versus movie discussion.
Yeah.
So we'll have both of that. We'll be able to do the book adaptation stuff on here and then just full movie stuff on there. So, yeah. And that will allow us to do more show stuff. I hope you watch Pluribus.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
I will hopefully get to it.
Yes. And lastly, okay, we got to go because it's 4:00. We have book club in a second. But lastly, I'm going to go and finish my book this year. That's the last thing in 2026. And hopefully you get
started
on a book as well. And you know what? I'm going to start doing a Sanderson X ding here and in post put the percentage. I'm going to start dinging at the end of these now.
You're going to ding?
I'm going to ding.
Okay.
Also, we'll still show the socks because you got to show the socks. Actually, the ding will be during the socks.
Oh, okay.
So expect that coming in 2026 as well, to see the percentage with the book as it comes. But otherwise, we got to interview Pierce Brown. That's got to be up
there.
That's
another goal.
That's an important one. I messaged him. He didn't respond. I'll try again.
Left you unread.
Yeah. No, he'd even read it.
Oh.
Yeah. Doesn't even know. Doesn't even know us.
I know. We could have met him at Dragonsteel.
FOMO.
I know.
FOMO.
All of our friends
met him.
Tanner went out to the bar with fucking Pierce Brown.
I hate Tanner.
I know. He's, God, I hate him so much. He's so envious.
I really am.
Ugh. What a, yeah. He's too good of a guy and it makes me envious and insecure in my own masculinity.
I think Tanner, I think asshole.
Yeah. I just look at it. I think that his whole shtick on YouTube shorts and reels and all that of like him being the pretentious, he puts on this mask of the pretentious.
That's your thing.
He did take my thing, but here's the thing. I also play it up. I think that's his real personality right there. He plays it up saying, "Ooh, I'm a persona. I'm being a snob." Now he actually is that pretentious dick. I'm just going to say it. Yeah.
I'm glad you said it. I was soft launching. I'm going to go a step further. He's racist. just keep going.
Just love to slander our friends.
Just keep getting worse. You want me to see this tech? No. If anybody doesn't know, Tanner's the best, but
it's pretty great.
All right, we got to go get ready for our book club now with Shadow of the Gods. So we're going to be on that. That's for patrons only. We're going to go do that. And then there will be a book review up for that sometime this month or next month.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for our 2025 December recap live. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.